Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this video, I'm going to be talking about feminine versus masculine compassion. Compassion, a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. In his book, Big Heart, Big Mind, Zen Master Dennis Genpo Mertzel has a really beautiful story that explains the two sides of compassion that I wanted to share with you. It's the story of the horses. And here's how it goes. Basically, there's a mother horse who's giving birth to a baby horse. And horses live also, they live in a group. So there's not just one horse, there's a whole bunch of other females. And then there's also the lead male horse of the troop. Well, I don't know what they're called. Anyways, so they live in a group. And the mother is giving birth to this baby. And the baby is born. And then for horses, the baby is supposed to stand up and start walking around on its feet really fast after it's born. So this baby, though, is struggling and it can't quite get up on its feet. Now, the mother looks at the horse. She's feeling bad for the baby horse. She wants to help it along. So she nudges the horse with her head, trying to help it up. And the horse, the little baby horse, just can't get up. Keeps struggling and falling back down. So the mother's doing everything it can, and it's not working. Then some of the other female horses come from the group, and they try to help the baby horse, too, to get up. And they keep nurturing it and encouraging it, and just nothing seems to be working. And then finally, the main male horse, he comes over, and he grabs that baby horse by the back of its mane, and he takes it over to the boulder over there on the ground, and he smashes its skull into the boulder. And that right there is a perfect illustration of compassion as being both masculine and feminine. It's got those two flavors to it. It's interesting, though, that when we talk about compassion, we typically assume the feminine version of compassion, not the masculine. So that's what I want to talk a little bit about more in this video. The lesson that I draw from this story, and I have some examples that I'll share with you, and also some vivid examples in my own life, where I've run into this issue of trying to be compassionate, but being compassionate in the wrong way. So the lesson from this little story is that there's different ways that you can be compassionate, that you can help other people. Sometimes you take the soft, hopeful approach, which is the feminine approach. Sometimes you take the harsh, realistic, pragmatic approach, which is more the masculine approach. And I mean, these are stereotypes, right? These are stereotypes. Obviously, men and women can both use both approaches. So I'm not saying here that the woman always uses the feminine approach and the man always uses the masculine approach. They can vary. So it doesn't have to do anything with your physical gender. But there's leanings, right? It's gender stereotypes. So there's leanings and kind of probability clouds that we gravitate towards depending on what gender we're in and whether we associate ourselves with masculine or feminine tendencies. But these are two valid lenses through which to see the world and through which to interact and try to ease the suffering in the world, right? And you have to have enough judgment and wisdom to recognize which approach is going to work better. For example, personally for me, one of the things that I've been running into is I've been shooting a lot of these videos with actualize.org for over a year now, and I have this option about how to deliver this content to you guys. I could either deliver it sometimes in a more masculine, harsh, pragmatic way, sometimes I can deliver in a more soft, hopeful, feminine way. And initially when I started off shooting my videos, I kind of sided on the more masculine and harsh approach, you know, where I would kind of yell at you and browbeat you and accuse you of things and this kind of approach. And that can be great because sometimes the best way we learn is like we're fucking up in our lives or we're just kind of stuck in a rut. And then someone comes over and says, hey, stop fucking up, get your shit together and go accomplish that thing right there. And sometimes that's enough to trigger in you this, oh, yeah, I have been fucking up. I have been lazy. I should go do that. And you just go do it. Sometimes that's all you need. But sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes you're just like in such a bad state or whatever. And instead of what you need like the more soft, loving kind of approach where it's like, oh, tell me about your feelings. Let's take a look. Oh, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Yada, 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 yada. Right? And so there's that more feminine, compassionate approach. So it's been interesting for me to kind of go between these two poles and try to kind of navigate that. And I'm still trying to find, you know, what the right balance is. I think what I've discovered is that it really is kind of on a case-by-case basis. It really helps to know what the person's problem is in order to help them out. One of the challenges with trying to help you guys out through, you know, videos or through a comment on the internet is that there's so little information that I know about you as I'm trying to deliver this material. It's a lot easier with kind of like one-on-one coaching clients. But anyway, so that's one example from my life. Another example that I found very interesting is I had this relationship a while ago, which was causing me problems because I kind of knew early on into the relationship that it wasn't the right relationship for me. This girl had emotional issues. I just saw that stuff wasn't going to be clicking for us long term. I saw that by kind of continuing to drag this relationship on, that it would be doing her a disservice. It would be doing me a disservice. But on the other hand, I didn't have the balls to just cut it off. And why is that? Well, because I didn't want to like come off as the asshole. And I didn't want to be the one that caused extra pain for her. And I mean, of course, for myself. So it wasn't just, there's selfish motives in there too. But even if you take a look at the more selfless motives, the issue there was that like I didn't want to take the harsh masculine approach in that situation. So I kind of waffled and I was a little soft and I was kind of being understanding and I was trying to kind of make it work. I was trying to be hopeful. And then that relationship, you know, dragged on. There was a lot of needless misery and suffering in all this, both for me and for her. And so in that situation, it would have been better if I took the masculine compassionate approach and I just made a clean cut. Yes, it would have been painful for both of us, but in the end, I think there was more pain in dragging the whole process out because a lot of suffering accumulated through that process, which is exactly, by the way, the reasoning of the male horse in that horse story, right? Because if the baby horse couldn't walk, then chances are it would probably get picked on and mauled by some wolves or some coyotes or whatever, right? So is it really appropriate to let this baby horse endanger the group as a whole and then also to allow it to be, you know, mauled by some vicious animal? So that would have been probably even worse of a fate for this baby horse than getting its skull smashed in on a boulder. So that's why that approach was, you know, a valid approach, even though it seems kind of monstrous and cold-hearted and harsh. Another example is, how about something like hiring a new employee? Let's say you want to hire some person, so you hire a person and for your business, and then you think like, okay, this is great, you're all excited. But then a couple of weeks in, you start to see that this person isn't quite working out. There's some value conflicts. Maybe they're showing up late occasionally, or they're not doing stuff the way you thought they would be doing it. And basically, you start to suspect that this person might not be able to handle this job that you've got for them. Well, as the manager or the boss, you've got really two options. One is you can make a clean break, and you can do kind of the dickish, cold-hearted thing, which is just to fire this person, call them into your office and say, hey, look, it's not working out. Pack up your stuff and leave. So there's that. The other approach is to be more kind of caring and be more hopeful and maybe offer this person some feedback and try to work with them and kind of go through this whole process. Right? So which one is better? Well, you're not going to know. It all depends on the specific circumstances of the situation. But you can clearly see there that in this situation, there could be both a masculine approach that might be valid. There could also be a feminine approach that might also be valid. It might be the case that this employee is just kind of struggling to understand certain rules you've set, and that maybe if you work with them for a month, they'll become an amazing employee. So you have to develop that judgment in you, that wisdom, to decide. How about the example of disciplining a child? How should you discipline a child? Should you take the harsh masculine approach or the feminine compassionate approach? Right? You've probably experienced both as a kid. And you can see that there's merit to both. But it's also possible to discipline the child in the wrong way with both approaches. Like if the child is not doing their homework, sometimes you need to yell at them and maybe that'll work. Or maybe yelling at them will even worsen the problem. So you have to use a little reverse psychology on them or go talk about their emotions and what's wrong and then be more kind of feminine compassionate with them, be more loving with them. And maybe that will get them to do their homework or whatever the situation is, right? And again, requires good use of judgment. And how do you build judgment through experience? So a lot of times it's by being in these situations and then miscalibrating, making the wrong choice, right? You make the wrong choice. And then through a series of wrong choices, you develop the wisdom and experience to know what the right choice will be the next time. So this is like a skill that you need to develop. And what I found is that probably you're more skilled and competent with one of these poles than the other. So maybe you're real good at using masculine all the time, but not so good at feminine, or vice versa. And then your default strategy is to use the thing that you've always used to fix the problem, even though sometimes it's quite obvious that that method won't work. So it's kind of like trying to use a hammer just because you got a hammer to hit everything that can be hammered, even when it shouldn't be hammered, right? You don't want to hammer in a screw. You need a screwdriver for that. So, different tools for different contexts. But we can become a little rigid sometimes. That's what I've been finding in the way that I do the personal development delivery, right? So I have to kind of switch up approaches. So I'm going to give you an exercise to do just that towards the end of the video, but just want to make a couple of last points here. One is just as a warning, this whole idea of masculine compassion should not be used as an excuse to be an asshole or to be unkind or inconsiderate of other people. And the way that you know whether you're being an asshole or not in using this masculine compassion is you got to ask yourself, are you doing it for their good? And don't try to rationalize it how really you're doing it for their good, but actually behind the scenes, it's actually all for your good. Like you gotta be very genuine about it, right? Is this decision you're going to make actually the right decision in the situation, both for them and for you? So like if you're deciding whether to fire an employee, right, you got to ask yourself, well, if this job is not going to work, if they're not going to be able to fit into this job, then that's going to be bad for them. Because in the end, they're going to lose months of their time and having high hopes. And then I'm going to have to fire them in the end anyways. So it's better for them if I fire them now. But you have to be genuine about it. It's interesting also another point that I want to make, which has been on the top of my mind lately. Because I've been doing a lot of study on enlightenment and about increasing one's consciousness as we do personal development. And one of the things that comes out is that as your conscious awareness increases, your compassion increases. Very interesting. And the reason that turns out to be the case is that compassion comes naturally when you identify yourself with more and more of the world. So if all you do is you identify yourself just with you, with this personal body, this ego right here, then you're going to feel like it's you against the world, and that you have to take from others to feel good about yourself. And so in that low state of consciousness, you're very identified with just this very local phenomenon happening right here. And so your compassion is very limited. Now, as your awareness increases and you can get to the point where your awareness increases completely and totally, which is what an enlightenment experience is, then literally you have compassion for everything now, not because of some moral standards, but because you see everything as you in a very literal and physical way. So imagine, for example, that you thought that I was no different than you, and that the chair you're sitting on was really no separate from you as an identity. Imagine if you identified yourself with all of nature, all of humanity, all the animals, all the insects, the cosmos, the stars, the air, the water, the trees, everything, the entire world, the entire universe. If that was your identification, if that's what you identified with, rather than just this local body here, imagine how much compassion you would have for all those things, even physical objects. You would treat them in a very different way. And one thing that really brought this home to me is that I was at a retreat where we were doing a lot of consciousness work. It was an enlightenment retreat. And one of the participants there at the end of the retreat, he shared a little experience with me that he had. I kind of was asking him about, hey, so you had some enlightenment experience. Who's had enlightenment experience? So I was just like very curious, asking people questions. And this guy started telling me a little bit about one of the first experiences that he had. And what he told me was that he was sitting there. They were doing exercises. It was like two people doing exercise. He was sitting there with the other person. They were both looking at each other. The other person was talking, and he was sitting there, and all of a sudden he had this enlightenment experience. And as he had it, his field of awareness expanded to the point where he became the other person. Not in the sense that he could see through his eyes, but just that what he was looking at, he didn't perceive as separate from himself anymore. So imagine if you're looking at me right now and you get this moment where you start to realize that this thing here is not separate from that thing over there. And it was amazing what he told me, because he told me that that person that was talking, that he was listening to, was describing some painful divorce situation or whatever that happened in his past. And there was some suffering involved with that, apparently. And so that person was feeling kind of sad about it. And this guy who was having the enlightenment experience, he felt so identified with that other person that tears started rolling down his eyes. Tears of compassion, because he literally felt what the other person was going through, as though it happened to him, because he became that other person for that brief minute or so. And so that's where true compassion comes from. Compassion comes from expanding your field of awareness. Very interesting. Kind of eye-opening when you hear stories like that, right? Tells you like, oh man, there might be this whole field of awareness and raising of consciousness to levels that I had not previously thought possible, that seem kind of mystical or spooky or woo-woo or supernatural. They're not supernatural. They're very natural. It's just that these are higher states of consciousness that we very rarely get to experience unless we deliberately go and pursue them, which most of us don't tend to do because we assume that they're not there. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Low consciousness assumes that low consciousness is all there is. It assumes that there is no high consciousness because, well, I'm already as conscious as I could possibly be. But when you start to explore the possibility of higher consciousness, you start to experiment with yourself, then you start to see that there's a whole vast ocean that you can expand into. And it's really amazing and inspiring. So I just wanted to share that for you as a little maybe motivation for you. Lastly, though, what I want to do is I want to give you an exercise. So here's the exercise. Identify which pole you side with more, masculine compassion or feminine compassion. And what I want you to do is I want you to make a commitment the next time to be aware of which one you're going to naturally want to use and use the opposite one. So maybe your spouse comes home from work and he or she is angry because something bad happened there. And normally what you would do is you would use the masculine approach or the feminine approach. Well, now what you're going to do is you're going to switch it up and see how that works. Or whatever your situation is, right? So that you're building balance in both these faculties so that you're able to use both and you're able to jump between them. And then you're developing experience with both. And then you're going to be more flexible so that in the future, situations come up and you're going to know which approach to use best. All right, so go ahead, practice that. I'm signing off. Go ahead, post me your comments down below. Click the like button, please. Share this video with a friend. And finally, come sign up right here to my free newsletter at actualize.org. I release new videos about self-actualization topics every single week. I'm really excited about giving you a giant blueprint of how to put together the amazing kind of life that you want to put together. Emotionally, relationship-wise, business-wise, career-wise, with your passion, with your hobbies, with all this stuff. Because I think that that's where the greatest appreciation of life comes from, is when you're able to put your own life together like that. That allows you then to expand your consciousness, not just to yourself, but then to the larger world too. So if you're on board with that idea, then sign up right here and I'll see you soon.